Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you choose to visit with us? You are such a great God, but at the same time you're such a humble person. You choose to come and fellowship. You humble yourself to behold the things that are in the earth. We're grateful. Father, as we come to share your word now, we again approach you and your word with reverence. We know how great you truly are. And you've chosen to share that greatness with us. We need your help, for we understand that your infinite wisdom has been compressed and coded into this 66 volumes. Without your help, we cannot know your mind. Therefore, I pray for fresh unction anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so indeed I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Father, I pray the same anointing upon the ears and the hearts of anybody that will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, at different times, different places. So that this word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. Causing our wills all to become more humble. Our minds to be more enlightened with revelation, knowledge, our emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as we speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, my God, that I would deliver this word with precision, redeeming the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life agreed and said,
Amen.
Amen. Today I have a message. I'll call it a landmark message because it is understanding and practice that you must have in order to experience what we call the power of the Spirit without measure. And today I call it resurrection life. I've called it groaning and resurrection life. In the last few weeks, I have been meditating on the Word and praying. This truth has been blown up in my heart. And I believe the Holy Spirit whispered to me yesterday that this is a time to share it. The Bible says the sons of Issachar had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. Sons of Issachar typify the prophetic and apostolic ministries, and they know what Israel, which is the typifies symbolic of the church, what they ought to do. And I always add this for the apostolic, how to do it. It's one thing to know what to do. It's a completely different ball game to know how to do it. And that's really one significant difference between the prophetic and the apostolic. Prophetic gives revelation, but the apostolic goes ahead and gives wisdom as to how to apply the revelation such that it will produce the results that God wants. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read, first of all, in the King James. I will go to a few versions, other versions, as the Holy Spirit directs me. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read from verse 22. Romans chapter 8. Here, just before we start reading, let me give a little bit of background. The background is this. The Apostle Paul
was given the revelation of Jesus Christ. What we mean by that is that Paul was given a revelation of the person of Jesus, which the others two had, but probably in more detail, Paul was given a revelation of how Jesus lived when he was on the earth. You see, often men look at the Lord Jesus Christ and think of him as God. And say, well, you know, Jesus was God, you know, because he was God. You know, and all the things Jesus did, he did as God. That is not accurate. Yes, Jesus was God and is God. But when he came to the earth in the form of a human being through the womb of the Virgin Mary, he was stripped of his divine attributes. He was not omnipotent, he was not omniscient, and he certainly was not omnipresent. We know this from the biographical accounts in the four Gospels. He had the same limitations that we have as human beings, albeit he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. So everything Jesus did it as an ordinary man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Consequently, we can duplicate what Jesus did as men with the same Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus had. So when the Apostle Paul talks about having a revelation of Jesus Christ, he's talking about a revelation of how the Lord Jesus Christ used the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit in him to live the kind of life that he lived. It was that depth of revelation that was given to Paul. Paul understood how to operate spiritual law. It's very significant that of all the New Testament writers, it is only the Apostle Paul who actually mentions the reality of the fact of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The others touch on it, but that phrase, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is unique to the Apostle Paul. You know, Peter and John, they understood it, of course, and they operated it, but they didn't coin that phrase, because that revelation was actually given to Paul. John, the apostle, also spoke about the same things, but, you know, because they didn't have the kind of scholarly mind that Paul had. So, because Paul was a trained lawyer, so he could express things in a more precise scientific, if we use that expression, you know, way than the others did. And so here in Romans, the book of Romans is actually a treatise on the legal and the vital. That's what E.W. Kenyon calls it. You know, the legal and the practical applications of our redemption. In the first few chapters, he tells us about the fact that, you know, all men, I'm just summarizing, all men, you know, have the nature of sin. And therefore, all men, because of that nature of sin, they cannot, it is impossible for them to keep God's laws as encapsulated in the Ten Commandments. You know, so, you know, it's not just not possible, because the sin nature would hinder them from doing it. Now is why the Lord now sent Jesus Christ, and Jesus, by dying and suffering, you know, and shedding his blood, he provided a legal basis upon which God could do two things. One, forgive us of our sins so that we won't be liable to go to hell and to be punished. And then secondly, to remove the sin nature and give us the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us now to keep the law we could not keep before because of the sin nature. So the Spirit empowers us to do what we couldn't do before because of the sin nature. This is in summary what Romans, the first few chapters of Romans, is all about. The dilemma of the sin nature and its consequence, the dilemma of the sin nature and our inability to keep the law is graphically displayed in Romans chapters 5, 6, and 7.
Paul shows that all men from Adam, he says, for all have sinned. He says, through one man, sin came to everybody. And but he says, it's the same spiritual logic that sin came to all men through one man. God has now ordained one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that righteousness could come to all men, just like sin came to all men, you know, through Adam. So just like you become a sinner by birth, you also become righteous by birth. You don't become a sinner, you know, because of what you did. You inherit the sin nature through your parents, through natural birth. In the same way, you do not become righteous because of what you do. You inherit the righteous nature through your spiritual birth. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what is meant by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, in Romans 5, 6, and 7 highlight the problem. Paul summarizes it in this way. I want to do the right thing. I always find that there is a... He says, I desire the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law working in my members, the physical body. I'm born again. I have the nature of God in me. But I see another law working in my members, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my flesh. And then he laments and says, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Let me paraphrase. Who shall deliver me from this physical body which is full of spiritual death? That's really what it meant. This physical body, but it's full of this physical, it's full of spiritual death. He said, but I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Romans chapter 8, he begins to unravel the solution, which in summary is to use the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome and to clean out the sin nature from the soul and the body. And then you can start keeping the law you couldn't keep before. You now keep it by the Spirit. You do not keep it by a legalistic set of rules of divers washings and all kinds of ceremonial observances that they had in the Old Testament. Those things can never change your nature. They only served as a shadow. There was a schoolmaster to point us to the solution that was still going to come many thousands of years later through Jesus Christ. That was why he set up all of those feasts and animal sacrifices and that intricate system of what is known as the Mosaic Law. It was good for that time, you know, because it was supposed to be a guide, a pointer to what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come to. But once Jesus came and died, all those ceremonial laws were done away with. But the moral law remains in place. And the spiritual laws remain in place because they are operated now by the Spirit in Jesus Christ. And that's why it's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, with that background, go back to Romans 8:22. You know, it's vital to see this. And there is creation is under a bondage because of the fall of Adam. And therefore, the whole of creation is groaning. I want us to understand the real... That's why the Holy Spirit is asking me to share this message. You know, you talk about groaning. People think of it as a scriptural pastor doctrine. Pastor Luby's doctrine of groaning. You know, and we've had all kinds of criticism. But folks, that's ignorance gone berserk. Are you listening to me? Read the book. Hello, somebody. Now let's go to Romans 8:22. For the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What does he mean? He means that until the revelation of Jesus Christ came, until Jesus died and rose again and made a way out, the whole of creation was under bondage. give this, I'm going to be switching, so please listen carefully up there. You know, between different translations as I give it to you. Switch on this verse now, switch to New International Version. Just briefly, and we're going to go back to King James. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in pains of what? Childbirth. That's where this groaning thing, that's one of the key factor understandings of what groaning is. Just like what happens to a woman when she's having a baby. I'm going to explain that a little bit further as we go on. You know, he says, in pains, every woman who has had a baby here will tell you. You know, that's why when people say men are superior to women, they are stupid. How many of you have been through pain of childbirth? I'm talking about the men. Cowdy. Pastor G. I respect women. You know what we're told, and these are doctors here who can tell us. Give the women a clap. Thank you, my mafia. You know, the pain threshold. We have no clue. I'm talking about men. We don't have a clue. You cannot understand. When a woman is having a baby, she's hanging between life and death. She's literally hanging between life and death. It is one of the reasons why God has made it his duty to protect women. One of the things, I don't know, I'm getting off a little bit, but I'll get back in a minute. You know, that's why God hates divorce. Look, watch this. Do not deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. He doesn't say do not treat desperately with the husband of your youth. Though it's implied, but it is the woman that is the subject of the protection, because they're the ones that can feel the pain probably more than the men. You know, when a woman, you meet her, she's 17, sweet 16, sweet 17, her body is so beautiful and nice, you know, then you get married to her, then she has the first baby, the second baby, the third baby, her body is not like it used to be, and then you now say, Mbaku, let me go and look for another finer one. You've just dealt treacherously. Without her, can you have those babies? Why will you now discard her for another woman after she has gone through all that pain and labor for you to have your children? You're a covenant breaker. God himself will kill you. Only the women are clapping. You know, that's what our men do. That's why you find that men, after a few years, go and marry one small wife. Go and look for one younger one. What's wrong with the one that you took originally? She pleaseth me not well anymore. Along a bembel. You know, it's all jara, it's not in the notes. Praise the Lord, but it's coming by the Spirit. When Moses didn't circumcise his boys, the Bible says the Lord went to meet him on the way by the inn and sought to kill him. You know why? He was a covenant breaker. Because God had given the covenant of circumcision. When you go against your wife and you go and start misbehaving, God will meet you on the way. And he will kill you. Nobody said amen. Amen. By the time I finish this, nobody's going to divorce their wife again. I
And you know I'm preaching revelation knowledge. Straight from the word. He said, and God went out of the way and met him on the way to kill him. That's Moses, who talk less of you. I break covenant, can't carry him, misbehave. Do you know how much pain they go through? Do you know how much discomfort they go through? Risk their life. And you're not superior to them. Bible says in Christ there is no male or female. The truth about the matter is that God put something extra inside the woman. We each has our specialities. There are things we have they don't have. There are things men have women don't have. There are things women have men don't have. That's why the woman is the woman. The man with the womb. It's just like the man. Except that she has the womb inside. She has the reproductive organs to produce. She's a baby making factory. So she has some special equipment. Fallopian tubes, all kinds of things that we don't have. Amen. But going back to my message, they're groaning and travailing together in pain. There is a pain that they experience in childbirth that I don't think any man can understand. And that's why we should respect them. They have a stronger pain threshold than we do. Most of us give us injections, start shouting. If you see what they give women when they're having babies, they give them pitocin, they give them all kinds of funny things. You know, it's, you know, and you see, she's still smiling. Every man, when we had some of our children, when we had the first, they didn't let me inside, but when it was Joshua Lubi, I was inside the place. Because it was Professor Adewale, who was VC and now Minister of Health, that delivered Joshua Lubi, you know, and he allowed me inside because he had his own private hospital, you know. When I saw what I saw, Mukoko humble around, you know. Then I started respecting this woman more. Praise the Lord. And I so sometimes. When I get angry and I my account rotting here, pull down. Women are wonderful. Give our women a super clap offering. They were made by God to complement us men. Are you listening to me? And that's why we should not deal with them treacherously. If she goes through all of that and then you just dump her. God doesn't take it kindly. God does not take it kindly. That's when you know that God is really Godfather. He will make you an offering you can't refuse. So we know, I didn't hear you, that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. That is, even up to the time that Paul was writing, that groaning is still going on. Verse 23. Go back to, leave it in New International for now. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Let's explain that. The creation. The physical creation, global warming. It's true. It's a part of the groaning. Are you listening to me? The trees, the vegetation. How many people know that God did not make the Sahara Desert? And how many of you know that? He did not make it in vain. It was not originally Sahara Desert. All that place was clean vegetation before. Over many, many years, due to all kinds of geographic and climatic distortions, that's what created all of these things. It's the earth groaning. The earth is groaning.
Because you need to understand that earth was under this dominion of Adam. After the recreation of Genesis chapter 1, you know, is a recreation. It's not the original. It was the original creation. God created the heavens and the earth. That was billions and billions of years ago. Then the earth became without form and void because of satanic rebellion. Then God said, light be. And then God now made a recreation. So everything you see in Genesis verse 2 downwards is a recreation. I don't want to go into all of that right now. But the important thing is this. You know, all of that was now put under Adam. Let them have dominion. And everything was fine. Then Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, all of that was, that dominion was, it was a legal transfer. It was transferred to Lucifer, the devil. But Lucifer does not have the power to maintain the earth. So everything went out of sync. Health became sickness. Peace became confusion. Wisdom became ignorance. That's the whole situation. The earth, the physical, the mountains and all of these things that we see, you know, there's so much distortion that has taken place in creation because of the fall of man. He's under an outlaw now who is limited. He used to be great before, but you know, when he rebelled against God, Bible says his wisdom became corrupted. That's the whole, the origin of this groaning of the whole of creation. And it's still happening until as we speak. All these terrible, bizarre weather patterns, God didn't make them. Didn't make it like that, that is to say. You know, God made everything, everything. The Bible says, and he saw, and it was good. Isn't that what the Bible says? And the third day he saw, and it was good. How many say, desire, desert is good? I will take you and put you and live there. Then you will know it's not good. Hello? Hello? Oh, yeah. How many people know that the North Pole is not good? You want to find out? Let's take you there and leave you there. How are you going to live there? Or the South Pole. All kinds of funny things. The whole of creation, till as I speak, is still groaning. That's where the word, that's the root of the word groaning. For the ignorant. Not only so, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Let's unravel that. What is the Holy Spirit saying to us through Paul? We who are born again, we feel the liberty in our spirit because the spirit is now recreated and free. But we still feel the bondage in the body because the body is not redeemed yet. So we have the first fruits. The word first fruits is a good modern word is what deposit. We have a deposit anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not the without measure. This one is with measure. We have a deposit of the Spirit, and creation is feeling it, and we ourselves, we feel it in our body. Our spirit is groaning. Our spirit wants liberty. It's free in the spirit, but the body is acting as an insulator. The body is acting as an impediment, and we feel the pressures. That's why we experience sickness, we experience weakness, we experience sin, and this thing makes we don't want it, but that's the situation. This is the whole essence of what the great apostle is trying to teach us.
that this is where groaning comes from. That we groan, we who are born again and we have the Holy Ghost, we speak in tongues. We want to see this physical body. We want to see it as free as my spirit. I want to experience the redemption of our bodies. Now, I want to say something. The Holy Ghost said it to this morning. I've been preaching this thing for years, but I've never heard it like this before. This is the redemption of the body, not the glorification of the body. Hallelujah. The glorification of the body is at the resurrection. The redemption of the body is here. This redemption is a full redemption, spirit, soul, and body. I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming. In other words, is this a transaction that's going to take place before Jesus comes? Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, glory to God. I'm about to take off. Go back to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Now let's go to verse 23, 24. For in this hope. Now go back to King James now. Let's go back to King James. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he hope for it? Folks, listen. I'm not hoping to be born again. I'm born again. Hello, somebody. I'm not hoping to speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. I have the Holy Spirit. Those, they are not hopes anymore. I already seen them. Amen. But I am hoping for the redemption of my body, where the life of God will be made manifest inside the body. I don't have that one yet. That's the hope that is ahead of me. Remember, this is the redemption of the body, not glorification.
Yes, sir.
These things have never been taught with precision and clarity. People have muddled it up. There is a glorification of the body that's going to come at the resurrection. But there is a redemption of the body that is available now. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 25. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with what patience wait for it. We are now waiting for the redemption of the body. The life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh, in the nasty here and now. Not in the sweet by and by. Hello, somebody. Verse 26. Now you can understand. See, people just go and take the scripture. I'm going to pick it out. If you don't get it in its context, you can't understand what groaning is all about. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit in the New King James, he will say himself. Give me New King James, and then we're going to go to the International Version. But New King James first. Thank you. He says, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, what? Himself maketh what? Intercession for us with what? Which cannot be uttered. Watch this. Your spirit is groaning. It wants liberation. It is pushing against the sin nature in your flesh. Okay? It wants to allow the nature that is inside the spirit to enter the flesh. So it's groaning against that opposition. Now, watch this. The Holy Spirit, do you understand, sees that you are struggling. So he himself now comes to join together, to help you. Likewise, the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. The Greek word is actually take hold together with us against. So the Holy Spirit now comes and joins you in this struggle to overcome the nature of sin that is in the flesh that is keeping you in bondage to decay. Now, I want to ask a very simple, it's a rhetorical question. I'm sure we can all answer it in the positive, but I'll ask it all the same. You know, if God helps you, don't you think you will prevail? You see, if it was me alone, if it was my spirit alone, maybe. But once the Holy Spirit takes over and he's helping me, it is a certainty that we will prevail. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Oh! Victory is certain. You know why? Greater is he that is in you than all the corruption in the world. Oh! Hallelujah. That's why he's called the greater one. He's greater than the opposition. He's greater than the corruption. He's greater than all the things in the earth. He's greater than all the creation that is groaning and travailing. That's why he has come to help us. Likewise. Likewise. So our spirit is groaning. Three things. Creation is groaning. Our spirits are groaning. Then in the same way, the Holy Spirit now sympathizes with us and joins together with us to overcome the thing that is causing us to groan. I might don't know if I'm talking to anybody. Now, let's go to New International Version now. New International Version is the best translation in this particular portion of Scripture, in my opinion, you know, that I've seen so far by the help of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, no, in the same way creation is groaning, in the same way our own spirit is groaning, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for, what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Groaning is not tongues. That's why I like this translation. Because it accurately... See, when I first started groaning, I had that experience. I would pray in tongues. This was before I knew about life scriptures and all of this. You know, later on I got to learn and how to do it systematically. I would pray. I would hit a particular place. I would hit a particular level. Then I can't talk in tongues again. It has to... It's the words cannot express it. It's a groan. You know, but what is actually happening is that I will release power. And I found that the more I prayed, this was 1982, 1983, you know, when I started using life scriptures and all of that, I discovered that when I started using life scriptures on a more regular basis, you know, in my own particular experience, I discovered that, you know, I would pray in tongues. You know, at that time, I didn't know petition, supplication. It took me time to have all that revelation and understanding. You know, I'll pray in tongues. Then I'll get to a particular point, I just go into groanings. And I have to stay like that to release the power of God in sufficient measure. It was later on, God now taught me different kinds of prayer, and then, you know, using life scriptures and how you can do it systematically and how, you know, it works and all of that, you know, and we thank God for that. But this is the origin with groanings that words cannot express, pushing against an opposition. The satanic bondage that is in the air, that is in creation through the fall of Adam, and that by extension is in our physical bodies. Have you ever wondered? I ask honest questions. I don't know about you. I always use, why should Christians be sick? I don't know if you've ever asked God. The Bible says by stripes you are healed. Hello? Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Why am I still experiencing sickness inside this physical body? It's an illegality. Is it truth? This is the answer. The sin nature is still inside the body. And now when you experience sickness, you groan. The word groan there means it's an expression of, when will I be free of this? When will all this stop? You want it. Because your whole system knows you're free from it. And that is an illegal dominion. It's an illegal oppression. Yes. Sickness is an illegal oppression. Ignorance is an illegal oppression. This, your brain, is the most wonderful machine in the whole universe. They will tell you, the medical people will tell you, we have 86 or maybe about 100 billion neurons. I'm talking about electrical points, and they're actual, it's an electrical circuit. It's a bioelectrical circuit. With all the synapses and all of those things. And when you they can take pictures now using MRI and these different kinds of things, where if they take your brain, when your brain starts working, it will light up. And then you see certain parts of it that will be quiet, certain parts of it that will be something. We use less, let's put it this way. The efficiency of the brain as at today in an operation, when we say something is very brilliant, it's using 10-15%. These things ought not so to be. Let's say the way the Bible says, an enemy has done this. But the day of your redemption is there. You know what Jesus said? He said, when you look up and you see the blood moon. He said, watch this language. When these things begin to come to pass, know your redemption. He's not talking about redemption of being born again. You're already born again. He's talking about the redemption of the body. Glory to God. He said, know your redemption draweth nigh. And the blood moons have passed. So it is really nigh. Hence this prophetic message. It will be to have a body free. Still in this life. Paul saw it by revelation. He said, we which live are always delivered unto death. That the life of God may be made manifest in our so that he knows the religious mind. They will say it's going to be at the resurrection, that in our mortal flesh, then so that they won't have a mistake, he repeated it. It was doubled twice, like the dream of Pharaoh, so that the interpretation, the dream is true and the interpretation is certain. So there will be no mistake. He doubled it twice. That the life of God may be made manifest in the mortal flesh. This is a transaction before the resurrection. This is not glorification, it's redemption. I got that this morning. It's not glorification, it's redemption of the body. There's a big difference between the redemption of the body and the glorification of the body is going to happen at the resurrection when we get a new body. But this is the redemption of this present body. Ha! Koselemengrada, honey. The price Jesus paid, do you understand? When he shed his blood, he paid the price for our spirit, he paid the price for our soul, and he paid the price for our body. Why are you satisfied with only 1.5? He paid the price for the whole thing. A
Amen. We have experienced the redemption of the spirit. We've experienced to a degree the redemption of the soul because we have a little bit of revelation knowledge, but our brains are not yet redeemed. And then we have the redemption of the body, which most of us have never tapped into. And we are satisfied and go to heaven. God is not satisfied, for he shall see the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. Until he sees a company of his people that will cash into the redemption of their body, he cannot be satisfied. So he will not have died in vain. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody. Okay. Verse 25. So we don't have it yet, but we are waiting for it patiently. That's what we're waiting now. That's what we're praying now. We're waiting. It's an active waiting. It's not a passive waiting. We're not just waiting. We're waiting actively. Watching and praying as we're waiting, because we're waiting for the redemption of our body. Am I talking to anybody here? Now, verse 26. So in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us. Verse 27. This is one of my favorite portions of scripture. And he who searches the hearts, our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit. He knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit. He knows what the Holy Spirit wants to achieve. Am I talking to anybody? Because the Spirit intercedes for the what? Saints in accordance to the will of God. So that you are not in any doubt about what the will of God is. He doesn't stop there. Because the religious mind will always fabricate something that he thinks is the will of God. So in order, he didn't leave it in your opinion. Hallelujah. He goes to explain what he's talking about. Next verse. Hallelujah. And we know that in all things, I didn't hear you, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Let me just make a comment here. I've said it many times, but it's better because I don't know who's listening to me all over the world. This, you know, in the King James, it says all things work together for good. But really, that's not what it says. Now, let me, because I like to be, by the mercy of God, I like to be gracious. God is teaching me gentleness and graciousness. Years ago, I'd have been a little bit too, you know, but I'm learning, I'm being tempered by the Holy Spirit. You see, you hear Christians say this all the time, all things work together. When something happens, they say, well, God will just cause all things to work together for our good, you know, and, you know, all things will just work together for our good. Brethren, I understand where you're coming from, and I'm not against you. I know that if you truly love God in your heart, and you're saying that God will go and work things out, and he can change that thing for your good, okay? But keep it in the context of the scripture. Do you understand? It is the intercession of the Spirit. The Bible says, in all things, God works for the good. So it is through the intercession that God will now make all things turn around for your good. So when bad things happen, don't say it's God who is making it work for your good. When you have to pray, or if you don't know how to pray like that, get other people who will be praying for you. Hello? Which is what actually happens when people say it, and God in his mercy allows that. God will not go and raise people they don't even know. Notice it's not intercession for the saint, is intercession for the saints, plural. Hello? So sometimes when you are groaning, it's not only what you are praying about, you are groaning about, you're also groaning for somebody else who doesn't know how to groan. So that God can cause things in his life to work together for his good. Thank God we're connected in one body. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Thank God for the mercy and the grace of God. Hallelujah. But how wonderful would it be if all of us start groaning? Hallelujah! Pastor Andrew, it will be nothing but the raising from the dead. The Bible says, if the falling of them
brought salvation to the Gentiles. He said, what will happen if they are restored? If less than 0.1% of the church, and I speak with some degree of authority, the body of Christ on the earth today is probably about 1 billion. Maybe a little more. Let's be generous. Let's give it 2. That's being very generous. I don't think we're up to that. I'm not talking about everybody who goes to church. I'm talking about people who are truly, genuinely born again, blood washed. Of that 2 billion, you probably have maybe about 500 million. 1,000 million is a billion. So you probably have about 1/3, you know, of that that's filled with the Holy Ghost that speaks in tongues. Of that 500 million or 600 million that are speaking in tongues, you have a very small number who actually pray in tongues regularly. The ones who speak in tongues, they speak in tongues maybe once every week. Or they speak in tongues when they're in a church service and there's a strong anointing. Or they go to a worship service and they get caught up. Hello? And then they go back into the natural. That's the majority. Now, you're looking at you know, a very small number, probably less than a million. Maybe a million, maybe 2, I doubt. 2 million that speak in tongues regularly. That is, on a daily basis, they pray in tongues. Of that 2 million, how many travail? We're looking at something like 0.001%. When you take it on a million basis, it works out to be probably, you know, 500,000. 200,000. If it is up to that. What will happen to the church? If we can get just that 500 million. Let's even leave the remaining 1.5 million. Billion. If we could just get half a billion to start doing what the Holy Ghost said, it will go around the remaining 2 billion. Yes. Then we will now see a victorious church. Yes. Then we will now see all things work together for good. We will now see, he says, and he will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Am I talking to anybody here? Because the Spirit intercedes, I didn't hear you, for the saints in accordance with God's will, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good, to accomplish his purpose. Verse 29, quick. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he who, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn amongst many brothers. I'm going to stop there. Look, listen. The purpose of the intercession, is that according to the will of God, is to produce a company of people who will be exactly like the firstborn. That's why it's conformed to the image. They're already born again. They are children of God. But they're not conformed to his image yet. Now, this is the essence of travail and groanings. It is to produce a company of Christians who will become conformed to the image of Jesus. And the good news is, which I just mentioned, and the Holy Spirit just said I should say it again. The good news is, while they are doing that, there is a lot of extra blessing that gets to the rest of the body. Because as they are praying, there is a lot of overflow that just goes to the rest of the body, causing things to work together for the other parts of the body that are not even doing what they're doing. Saviors out of Zion. it beautiful? Only God can organize something like this. Now, let's see something here. The groaning is against the opposition of the bondage of creation, of the sin nature, both in the air and in the flesh. That's why we groan. So when you know, when you groan, the power of God, the life of God is in your innermost being. The power of God is pushing it up. When it hits the flesh, it comes against the opposition of the sin nature inside the flesh. So there is a resistance. It is that resistance that's pushing, is pushing against. That's why the Greek word is take hold together with us against. The Holy Spirit does that. The whole purpose of this thing is that God wants to put the life of God that is inside the spirit. He wants to put it inside the physical body. That's the essence. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 4. This is wonderful. For while we are... Thank you. Yes, keep it here in the New International. For while we are in this tent... I didn't hear you. The tent there is just symbolic of the physical body. We groan. See, this is the same word. We groan and are burdened. Why? Stop. Why do we groan? Why are we burdened? Because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up of life. That's the essence. Why do we groan? We're groaning, put simply, we're groaning to put the life of God that is inside the spirit, inside the flesh, in this lifetime. It's called the redemption of the body, not the glorification of the body. We want to put the life of, that the life of God be made manifest in the mortal flesh. Now, I've got a proviso here. No groaning, no manifestation. Can't work. You know why? The reason is obvious. The whole of creation is in subjection. If you don't put an opposition, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. If you don't, you cannot put the life of God inside the physical body if you don't groan. That transfer will not take place. Because that opposition, even when you try and confess it, and you try and speak it, or you pray in tongues, and all of that, if you don't get to that place of travail, it will not be, there will not be enough force, there will not be enough power to translate it from the spirit via the soul into the body. This is going to happen. We need to understand that. That's why I call it a landmark message. It's a place you have, it's a Rubicon you must cross. I'm talking about individually now. Now, corporately, you can enjoy the blessing, they can lay hands on you, they can bless you, but you won't have it in you. Remember the parable of the virgins. The wise virgins had oil in two places, lamp and vessel. The foolish virgin had oil in lamp, but not in vessel. The vessel is the body. Then the foolish ones asked the wise ones, say, give me oil, some of your oil, into my vessel. The guy said, it's not like that. That's modern day language. He said, if I give you my own, there will not be enough for me. You have to go and buy for yourself. You can see, watch this. If my lamp is on and I have oil, you will be able to enjoy my light. But it will not put oil in your vessel.
I'll say it again.
If my lamp is on and you are around me, you will see light because you are associated with me. But that will not put the oil in my vessel inside your vessel. For you to get that, you have to go and buy it for yourself. Is it clear? People around Jesus, during Jesus' ministry, enjoyed the life of God that was inside his vessel. The woman with the issue of blood tapped into the life of God that was inside his vessel, inside his body. Amen? But he did not put the life of God on a permanent basis inside the woman with the issue of blood. For how to get that, you have to become a disciple. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll go to close. Two scriptures. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. I've already said it, but in the Amplified Bible, distinction between the redemption of the body and the glorification of the body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. Philippians Amplified, exactly. That if possible, I may attain unto the spiritual and moral resurrection.
I didn't hear you.
Let's start again. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. This is not a glorification. It's a redemption of the body. It's a transaction that's taking place on this side of heaven. I shared a message about 3 or 4 weeks ago called, you know, Zion, about tears, you know, Zion, saviors and tears. That's it. You know, and this is what Paul is talking about here in Philippians as well as in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, we that live, I have Zoe. The Greek word is Zoa. Is the verb of Zoe. He said, we who are Zoain. He says, we are always delivered unto death. For Jesus' sake. That, and I'm paraphrasing now, ultimately, later on, the life of God will now be made manifest in our mortal flesh. This transaction is very similar to what Jesus himself did on the cross. On the cross, what Jesus literally did was he allowed life to flow out of him. And when life flowed out of him, he now died spiritually, went to hell, but it was not forever, thank God. It was just for 3 days. Then on the third day, resurrection life and power now came back from the Holy Spirit and raised him from the dead and glorified his body. What is happening to you and I, as you pray every day, you draw life, you speak in tongues, you groan, you travail, your inward man is being renewed, but a significant amount of that life is being sent to bless other people. So you experience some degree of death, troubled on every side, cast down. No, it's all part of it. Because back up here in Philippians chapter 3, go to verse 10. Yes, this describes the process. That's why I said Paul was given this revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. For my determined purpose is that I may know him. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing the wonders of his person more strongly and clearly. Watch this. That I may, in that same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, so that I may so share. Oh, Kashalemenga, what an honor. His sufferings, so as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope, then verse 11. Next verse. That if possible,
I may attain. When you go through this process for some time, after a while, what God did for Jesus when he raised him from the dead, God will raise your own body. Hallelujah. And you will experience the redemption of your body. But it's a process you have to go through. You're exactly walking in the steps of Jesus. Hence he says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. And they, like me, did not love their life. They were ready to lay down their lives for their brethren. That's what's happening. When Jesus was going to raise Lazarus, you see this groaning thing comes up again. Look at John 11. Let's first of all look at verse 24 and 25. John 11, verse 24. Martha replied. Hello, somebody. Jesus said, had told her, I say, your brother will rise again. Then Martha saith unto him, I know. She knew the Bible. She knew Daniel. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. The same mentality with us today. Yes, there's going to be a redemption of the body, but it's going to happen when Jesus comes at the rapture. Jesus changes that mentality. Verse 25. And Jesus said unto her, I am now. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. This is one of the greatest statements of faith in the Bible. Jesus hadn't even died. He hadn't been raised from the dead. He called what is not as though it was. And he brought the resurrection, life and power. He brought it into manifestation there and then. God is telling us the same thing now. You're not going to wait until the rapture. You can experience the redemption of your body now. There's a glorification of your body, and there is a redemption of your body that is available. Are you listening to me? Where the life of God will be made manifest in your mortal flesh. And you now see how he did it. Look at verse 33, I think it is. Yes, verse 33. And when Jesus, therefore, I didn't hear you, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he did what? Groaned in the spirit. That's how you release resurrection life. Again, it's doubled, so that there will be no mistake. He says, the God has doubled the thing to Pharaoh twice. So the dream is true, and the interpretation is what? Certain. Verse 38. Verse 38. Jesus therefore, it will say again. It will say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Therefore, Jesus therefore what? Again. Groaning where? Cometh to the grave. That as he was going, he was praying. He had been praying for 2 days. You know, Lazarus was sick. They sent to him. He didn't rush. Because he was going to do a miracle that's going to shut everybody's mouth forever. He was going to do a miracle that will put the... This was probably one of the last miracles he did before he was arrested. He was going to do what? Heal the person, you know, when they came to arrest him. But that was a small miracle compared to this. He was about to do something that will shut everybody's mouth about who is the resurrection and who is the life. And who is God and who is not God. Hallelujah. And he didn't go empty-handed. He went with power. He said, and he groaned in himself. And then he cometh to the grave. The rest I will just say and close. He said, roll away the stone. Everybody was nervous except Jesus. He said, by this time, Lord, he stinketh. He said, did I not tell you? And I'm saying it to you today. And I'm saying it to you today. And I'm saying it to you today. I'm saying it to all of us today. If you will believe, you will see the glory of God. He called the raising of Lazarus the glory of God. It was a manifestation of the power of God. He called behold it, the glory of God. He said, did I not tell you that if you will believe, and I'm telling you this afternoon, if I'm telling you, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And the Bible says he stood before the thing, and in a loud, no, before he did that, he looked up to heaven, from whence cometh his help. This is free of charge. I just give it to you. You know, when he was at Jordan, and John baptized him, he obtained the Spirit without measure. He came upon him. And from that day till this day, he had been tapping from there. That was his source. Open heaven. Thank you. So when he got to this point where he needed Spirit without measure to bring Lazarus from the grave, he looked up to his source. And the Bible says, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And you know what he said? Father, I thank thee that you have heard me. I know you always hear me. But for the benefit of the brethren. For the benefit of the brethren. So that they will know you have sent me. Then the Bible says, with a loud, not kuru-kuru voice, not nervous. You know why? Power had been released. It was a certainty. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came out. When you groan, you release power that enters the physical body and causes physical manifestations. That is the essence. We're groaning so that the life of God that is inside our spirit, we know who we are, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As you groan, as you travail, as you are waiting patiently for the redemption of your body, you keep doing it. Hallelujah. One day, suddenly, hallelujah, the life of God will now be made manifest in your mortal flesh. And the people will come to you and say, surely God is in thee. Let us pray. Talk to God. Talk to God. Surely. Groaning and resurrection life. Pray the Holy Spirit is going to help us. It says we wait patiently for it. We ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, do groan within ourselves to experience the redemption of our body. And with patience, we wait for it. That's what we're doing now. That's what we're doing. Pray with understanding. Pray fervently. As you pray with groaning and the power of God from your spirit, it hits the mind. It will hit the will. It will hit the emotions. It will hit the body. And it begins to transform you into his likeness. In fact, all that stubbornness, that's why we talk about brokenness. And the choir sang about it today. Brokenness, holiness is what I need. That power will break the stubbornness of that will. Break it. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the risen Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, please come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the risen Lord. Let the world
In time in the church, the sons of Issachar that had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. I've not only told you what to do, by the mercy and the grace of God, has also told you how to do it. The redemption of the body is very important to God. Another word for it is manifestation of the sons of God. Another word is fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. These are just different symbolic expressions. But the reality is for the life of God to be made manifest in the mortal body. So people will see it. Nobody puts a candle and puts it under a bushel. No. It's there. We have light. We know we have light. We know we're children of light. But who else knows? Apart from ourselves, what will make them know this? And the hour has come, when we use the expression the Lord Jesus used, the hour is coming, and now is, where this life will be made manifest in the mortal, and it's the one of the main agents is the life of, is groaning. Is in this we groan so that we will mortality will be swallowed up of life. I want to encourage you just before we pray. We are doing well. God is not angry with you. There are a lot of people you are supplying life to. I gave you just a brief statistic.
it's a guesstimate. It's not, I've not done any scientific analysis. But if you're looking at 2 billion people and you only have him a few hundred who are praying, you can imagine the amount of life that's going out. But that's exactly what Jesus did. One died for many. You're giving out for many. But you're not going to stay in hell forever. You're not going to stay in difficult circumstances forever. Your redemption draweth nigh. Stay with it. Stay with it. The Holy Ghost will honor His word. And He will cause it to be made manifest in your mortal flesh. And then you'll be able to teach other people how to do it. Touch your body. Raise that hand. We're going to pray for our healing at the same time. Because the healing is just a part of this package. It's just a small part of this package. The day of sick today, sick tomorrow, sick today will go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Conformed to the image of His Son. Jesus in His lifetime, He was tired, but He wasn't sick. After the Spirit without measure, He had so much life in His body that people would just touch Him. Without knowing, without praying for them. We are going to ask for nothing less. The works that I do, shall you do, and greater. That is the word of promise. And God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. The life of God made manifest just like it was in His. People will touch you and be healed. And you wouldn't even pray for them. All you will know is that virtue went out of you. Touch that body. Raise that hand. Raise that hand. Except for those who are playing the piano. And even the people who are playing the piano. I extend the anointing to you. Hallelujah. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In particular, I repent of the sin of unbelief. Of not believing that this body can be redeemed in this life. Of not believing that the life of God can be made manifest in my mortal flesh now. Of not believing that mortality inside this physical body can be swallowed up of life. For always putting everything off to the resurrection. I thank you for clarity that there is a difference between glorification and redemption. I know my glorification is going to come at the rapture, at the resurrection. But now, Father, I demand according to your word the redemption of my body. I'm asking you in your mercy and in your grace, as I pray with all kinds of prayer, as I groan, as I travail, let the life of God flow from my spirit through my soul into my body. Let mortality, let sickness, let disease be swallowed up of life in Jesus' name. Nekatolomashako. Liprikitofrenes. Zefrikitolomashalaka. Lekatalamasukufrenes. Loprikituskufrenia. Jekitofre. Dakalama. Tolomata. Tunduche. Ketofre. Nastufrenes. Lambrikitolos. Liprikitofres. Zufrenia. Lambrikitoskafrenes. Lopriquitofredes, Lambricatusco, Clomatolomatufredofrishinka, Lacamatolomatufreda, Clomatolomustofris, Lombricamatufres, Zofre, Lambricamatolomus, Lambridofres, Tolos to Finis, Jiki to Finis, Tolomangardolomas, Jiki to Finis, Zufre de Leberas, Jiki to Fredes, Nofredes, Nofris, Tolomaras, Jiki to Finis. tolo mengera dolos shukutu frenegeras niketolo mostofres tolo maras jikitu frenes jufridis tolo magaras tolo mangaras jikitu frenes sufridingaras jufridis
in Jesus' name. This message is probably one of the most important you have heard in recent times. It's very important to you, and it's very important to God. That's what Christianity is, little Christ. God wants them to see it. Wants them to see it in such a way, in such a measure, that their mouth will be shut forever. This applies to men and women. Women, God defends you because He knows what you go through at childbirth. And even those who have not had children, He knows the weakness of the human because of the extra things you have inside your body that men don't have. The hormonal things and all kinds of things. Women go through a menstrual cycle every month. Men don't know about that. Menstrual pains, all kinds of inconveniences. But when you approach this truth, those things will still be there. But with the life of God, you will manage it properly. And even after you've had all your children, like God is helping my wife now, you know, you can, your body can come back to normal. And for the men, the same thing. All the things that are associated with old age and all of that, remove them from your mentality. God will renew the body in the same way He's renewing the soul and the mind. Hold on to it. Don't let this truth slip. Hold on to it. Mommy, come. Join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, God satisfied and show you His salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. The anointings of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn up and say, you groan, and put resurrection life in your physical body, causing it to manifest. So they will say, surely God is in you.